This is Like Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. It's February, which means people's seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, can be peaking. SAD is a kind of cyclical depression related to the changes in season. Shorter days with less sunlight can increase fatigue, and the urge to withdraw can hit even harder. Millions of American adults may suffer from SAD, although many may not realize it. Symptoms can range from feeling like you have the winter blues to severe depression, as is more common the farther north you live, like in Wisconsin. This season, we also have to add the challenges of living through a pandemic. To learn more about SAD and to offer some tips to help treat it, Janice Ells, UW-Milwaukee Professor of Biomedical Sciences, joins me for this month's Fit for You. She begins by explaining the varying degrees of SAD people can experience.
For most people that have seasonal affective disorder, it sort of comes in different degrees. There's sort of the winter blues where you just notice that you're a little more down. And then there are people who really have the diagnosis of seasonal affective disorder. And then there are people who are much more depressed and actually need therapeutic intervention. I can speak to it quite personally and viscerally because I have suffered from seasonal affective disorder, and members of my family suffer from seasonal affective disorder. So I can really speak to all the symptoms and the treatments.
Well, and with such a range, and you mentioned, of course, it's kind of in a seasonal time, I imagine it was hard to recognize seasonal affective disorder. So when did it start being diagnosed and recognized, especially if, you know, it's a range of, oh, I feel, you know, the winter blues compared to really bad depressive episodes?
It actually goes back to, as I recall, I think it was like the late 50s, maybe mid 60s. It was a South African native, a guy by the name of Norman Rosenthal, because he moved from Johannesburg, which was very sunny at a wonderful warm latitude, to complete his psychiatric residency in New York City. And he actually recognized that he was suffering from this and helped pioneer the use of light therapy, of phototherapy, sitting in front of a high output lamp for about a half an hour. And then he went on to do a lot of work at the National Institutes of Health. And it took quite a while to convince people that the length of day, the amount of sunlight you got, the amount of light that you were exposed to actually had anything to do with mood. Again, it was sort of an uphill battle, but he's quite well respected now. And we actually recognize the causes now, and we can explain seasonal affective disorder much better.
So I appreciate you sharing your personal history and your family's history with seasonal affective disorder, otherwise known as SAD. So I imagine it's pretty prevalent. You know, is this considered a common disorder? I mean, we're in Wisconsin where we experience very different winter seasons compared to elsewhere in the country and the world. But is this pretty prevalent no matter where you live?
It affects about 3% of the population, and it's not only just winter. There's actually a summer SAD. There's sort of a weird variant, and that really has to go with the, as we'll can get into this later, with the hormones in your brain. But 3% of Americans are affected with SAD. In Wisconsin, we're looking at about 6%. In New Hampshire, it's about almost 10%. In Florida, it's 1.4%. So it clearly has a lot to do with the length of day, with where you are in the hemisphere. So people along the equator don't generally suffer from SAD. About 10% of people can have sort of more mild cases, as I said, this winter blues. Women are more often diagnosed than men, but if we dig in and ask the appropriate questions, the incidence does not have a sex difference. It's just that women are more likely to admit that they have something that's affecting their mood than men are.
Yeah, so is this something that's relatively low risk to self-diagnose? You know, noticing like, okay, it's winter blues, but when should we think a little bit further than, oh, I'm just in a funk?
Well, one of the first things that usually happens, and this is classic with any kind of depression, seasonal depression and other depression, is your sleep cycle changes. And that also changes in the winter. You mean basically we become like, you know, big old bears. We want to go hibernate. We sleep longer, but we're not really refreshed when we get up. And so the physical symptoms that really precede the mood shift include, you know, sleeping in more, daytime fatigue, craving for carbohydrates, and weight gain. So, you know, sort of all the things you kind of associated with, you know, the holidays and things. And then once the depression hits, the symptoms are pretty much the same as non-seasonal depression. They're lack of motivation, reduced social contact, anxiety, and then they lift again. I mean, I can say from my own experience with it, I really didn't notice the depressive aspect until usually almost February and or late January or so. I would notice that I was sleeping more, but and then the thing that used to just spring me out of it is that every spring over spring break, we would go down to the Caribbean, and that blast of sunshine was amazing. Now, once I sort of sorted this out, figured it out for myself, I got a high 1000 lux light, and we can talk about those. And that worked great, just 30 minutes of light in the morning or getting up and getting outside. So it does, I mean, pretty much all depression is cyclical. The nice predictable thing about seasonal affective disorder is that as those days lengthen, and actually you can avoid it entirely if you can push yourself to get up, adjust your sleep time, go outside, use a light, you know, if it's very severe, psychotherapy. I'm a pharmacologist, but for seasonal affective disorder, I would say antidepressant should probably be the last course of action. I'm not a big fan. I think that exercise and light therapy works quite well and doesn't have any side effects.
So you mentioned light therapy. What kind of lights are these specifically that people use to combat SAD?
Okay, these are very bright lights. They put out 10,000 lux, which is now, so lux is a measure of illumination or light. If you went out on a bright sunny day, you would be exposed to about 50,000 lux of sunlight. So 10,000 is bright, and you don't look right at these lights. You just set them, you know, you can put them off to the side. Verilux is a company that's been around for a long, long time, but there's a lot of good lights. But now that we can play with light emitting diodes, people are starting to play with different colors and promoting different colors, and the science is way behind. So I would say, as someone who has had SAD, who has read a lot about it, you are better off to go with the old fashioned 1000 lux light box. Or alternatively, and I think this works pretty much as well, put on your jacket and get yourself outside for 30 minutes to an hour every day. Even in the cloudy weather, you're probably getting 25, 30,000 lux. And the sunlight bouncing off the snow, you're probably getting about 75.
So. Well, that's good to know. And even noting that even on a cloudy day, you know, it's still good to try and get yourself outside. And of course, the coronavirus pandemic has kept us indoors more and more. And I'll admit, working from home, it's really easy to realize 2-3 days later, like, oh, I haven't gone outside once, you know, in this whole stretch of time. So how has the pandemic impacted seasonal affective disorder?
It's a double triple whammy. It's basically the COVID fatigue, which is depressing in and of itself, diminished holidays, the lack of social interactions, all of those, you know, combine or conspire towards depression. And then the other thing is, you're absolutely right, and I have the same problem. There are days I sit in front of my computer all day, pretty much with meetings and teaching and all of that, and I realize it's getting dark before I've had a chance to get outside. And we're getting far too much blue light all day. So we are basically designed to be outside, to get blue light in the morning, to start getting yellow, green, red light in the afternoons, and more towards deep red light in the evening. And that prompts us towards sleep. And that's not happening now because we're all Even before the pandemic, we were all staring at our screens too much, and now we're really staring at our screens a lot.
So as we try to, you know, alter our habits, and some, you know, winter's hard sometimes, but what are some simple steps you'd recommend that people can start today to help combat SAD?
One of the things I would recommend is actually, because this whole thing is linked in terms of your biological clock, your circadian rhythm, so that gets messed up. Serotonin in your brain, the drop in serotonin affects mood and could play a role in SAD. And this is how most antidepressants work, as they try to boost the serotonin back up. But exercise does the same thing, and so does getting out in the sunlight. And melatonin is also involved in this. And the whole way that light triggers all of this is very complex, and I would say we still don't have it completely figured out. But we do know that vitamin D is very important, and we're very likely to be D deficient in Wisconsin. And taking as much as, you know, several thousand units a day, you can trust me as a pharmacologist, you will not develop hypervitaminosis. You will not get detoxic. I take 5,000 units a day. And the last time I had my vitamin D checked, it was just middling. You know, it wasn't, when I went in the first time, it was low. And in fact, one of my primary care docs said that just about everyone she tested was low to, you know, really deficient. So vitamin D, and vitamin D also is an antidepressant. It has antidepressant properties. It has behavioral properties. So that helps. Getting out and walking, exercise helps. Trying to avoid and this one is really hard for me, staying away from your tablet, your TV, and all of that. You know, read a chapter in a book the last half hour of the day, and really work hard on establishing a regular sleep-wake pattern. One of the things that every psychiatrist checks with a depressed patient is, how are you sleeping? That's the first thing they ask you when they come in. As you're recovering, it's one of the things you ask. I can tell you as a depressed patient that it's when your sleep comes back, your depression lifts. So really, you can work to normalize it. Talk to people. It's that old, you know, talk to your mates, and don't let yourself get isolated. That's a big part of depression as well. And be kind to yourself. Fewer, not as much processed foods, more fruits and vegetables, especially those ones that are blue, that are green and purple, because they have antidepressants in them. So those things. And if it gets really bad, go see a psychiatrist. Go see a specialist. If you are severely depressed, see someone who treats that disease, not treats that and everything else, and then possibly a short course of antidepressant medications.
Well, all good things we can all definitely try to implement more of. I know I can for sure. So Janice, I want to thank you so much for joining me to talk about seasonal affective disorder.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Get outside. I'm going to get outside.
Janice Ells is a professor of biomedical sciences at UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. She spoke with me about seasonal affective disorder for this month's Fit for You.